Once again, welcome everyone. Really a delight to see all of you this evening. So for this evening, I'd like to share with you some reflections on this realm of ethical integrity that we find within this path of the Dharma, within Dharma practice. And then after I share a little reflections on this realm of ethical integrity, I want to take a bit of time with one of the precepts or ethical trainings that you find in Theravada Buddhism. So to begin with, I want to share that in this tradition, ethical integrity, it's spoken about as something that's akin to an artistic skill. And the artistic skill that I imagine to get a felt sense of this for myself is it's like the artistic skill that you'd find in like a great jazz musician. And as I was reflecting on this, what came to mind was one of these jazz masterpieces. Probably many of you know it, the Miles Davis album, Kind of Blue. It's really this is such a hallmark collection of tunes, bringing in this quality of modal jazz that Miles Davis and others that were exploring. And and the reason is because for me it has a remarkable skill and beauty that it embodies, that album. And it's interesting, just before beginning to record that album in the studio, Miles Davis had he outlined the structure of the tunes to the other musicians. And then he gave the drummer Jimmy Cobb one instruction, which was make it sound like it's floating. It's quite striking because of Jimmy Cobb's skill on the drums, his artistry in following this one directive just set the stage for at least for me, such a deeply moving musical experience found within those tunes. Throughout that recording, it's like his drumming exuded this kind of like this delicate buoyancy that was so responsive to the other musicians when they were improvising. So just through that outline of the structure of the tunes and that one instruction that Jimmy Cobb received, such a beautiful creation of sound. From such artistry. To me, this is what ethical integrity really is about. Here I have, as a practitioner, I have a particular structure, the path of this Dharma. And maybe for some of you, it's more broad within the structure of your own spiritual path. And then there are some instructions, ethical guidelines like these precepts. And I'll be going over one of those. And then from that, I engage the way an artist would in learning how to bring beauty into the world, ethical beauty. And the key word here is learning. I'm learning a skill, an artistic skill, when I'm engaging in kind of these ethical guidelines. So there's a Pali word. Pali's one of the early scriptural languages of Buddhism. So there's a Pali word used in conjunction with this ethical integrity, in particular with these ethical precepts. And the word is Sikha Padang. And some of you who have chanted the precepts, like those of you who were on the retreat last week, probably know this word. We were chanting it every morning. It's an interesting word because sikha means training or learning. That ethics is rooted in, it's a learning I'm engaged in. And then padang, the first part of it, ped, is as in foot. So it's like a path. I'm on a learning path. So ethical guidelines, they're not commandments. It's rather a path that's a learning process. I'm learning an artistic skill on this path. So not about being perfect, about learning. And I'm learning a skill, I'm learning an art. Again, another Pali word connected with this, kusala. It just means skillful. One who has ethical integrity is someone who is skillful. And that feels different than someone who has ethical integrity is one who is right, compared to someone who doesn't have ethical integrity is wrong. And I'll get to that. This is a different sense. Because that's just a simple binary of right and wrong. And hopefully you're getting, oh, this feels different than that. And I want to clarify this difference just with a really simple example. So, for example, in math, let's say, like if I were to ask you right now what 2 plus 2 equals, and if you said four, you said four, if you just thought four, you're right. But for those of you who thought six, I got some bad news. You're just wrong. 2 plus 2 equals 4 and not six. So there's a right answer, four, and there's a lot of wrong answers, 3 and 6 and 5. Those are wrong. It just works that way. Or as in an artistic skill like playing music, it's much more about, you could say more times about when there's times where there's more skill, where there's kind of a flow in the playing, and then at times where there's not as much skill. It's like this whole continuum, and that continuum is quite rich. It's not a simple binary. That's not how an artistic skill works. You can't put it into one category or the other. It's more nuanced and richer than that. And as I said, ethical integrity, it's this art of bringing beauty into the world. This is again how it's described in these early texts. It's connected with this notion of beauty, ethical integrity. Because this is what I notice from my own practice, the more I practice, of how beautiful ethical integrity is, how beautiful that is. It's so beautiful to be kind. You experienced kindness from someone or kindness from your art, from your own heart. I find it's like beholding a masterpiece, an artistic masterpiece, where compassion is so beautiful. Generosity, it's a beautiful act. Skillful speech, it can be so beautiful. So here's the frame: ethical integrity as an artistic skill, as a learning process, or you could say a process of exploration. And then I'd like to take some time with just one of the precepts. So there's a whole list of five precepts, which are really quite common. And the fifth precept is to, it's a training, right? It's a training process to abstain from taking intoxicants that cloud the mind or lead to, a little more precisely, carelessness or heedlessness. So in other words, it's not taking intoxicants that are going to cloud the mind and then lead to kind of unskillfully acting, unethically acting. And in the Pali, it really refers to just different alcoholic beverages. Yet I do think it can be broadened. And for me, I think it's important to broaden this when I think of intoxications that cloud the mind. And one of the reasons I wanted to pick this guideline or this instruction is because hopefully you're going to hear there are so many different views just on this one guideline. Like when I reflect on the teachers I've practiced under and my colleagues and fellow practitioners, we think about it differently. We approach it differently. And I find that this is really important for our community, that there's a sense of exploring together, but allowing for difference, that difference is okay. And I think this is quite important to allow for multiplicity. And as I do say with my with these reflections, right, you're going to hear a lot of my views around this, and I'll broaden it, but they're going to, of course, seep out. But to remember that there's a sense of multiplicity. And some of it is just because of the things I've been through and the things that have worked for me. For example, if just beginning with alcohol, for me, it is really simple. I just don't drink alcohol. And again, coming back to this kind of image of artistry, this sense of artistry, for me, there's something artistically beautiful about a clear mind, a mind that's not under the influence of alcohol. Going back to the instruction for Jimmy Cobb, you know, for me, the clarity in this arena makes my life feel like it's floating rather than sinking. And the Buddha also talks about it as a gift, which I think is really interesting, following this ethical guideline. It's a gift for me, but it's also a gift for others because I am less likely to harm them or hurt them out of my unskillfulness. And not only that, many of you noticed, just, you know, I have quite a few friends who are in recovery. And I know that they feel comfortable, for example, coming over to our house, knowing they don't have to navigate that, that it's just, it's not around. And I want to acknowledge, you know, for me, and I've witnessed way, way too much devastation in this arena to really even be interested in. And at the same time, I want to point out, I know other practitioners that I have tremendous respect for, teachers I have tremendous respect for. And for them, having a glass of wine or a beer once in a while, that works for them. Not going beyond that, having a sense of like, oh, okay, when is this going to really lead to heedlessness? When is it going to lead to unskillfulness? So they have explored this realm differently than the way I have. So there's a range here. And to support this exploration or this process of learning for yourself, I just want to invite you to ask these questions to yourself. You know, is your relationship to alcohol, is it onward leading? Is it carrying your life forward? Just to be honest with oneself, I think, is really important. Or rather, are you sinking into distraction or mere consumption or overindulgence? Or maybe another way to put it, is it allowing you to bring ethical beauty into the world, or is it hindering it? And the tricky thing about offering you these questions is I really want to offer you the invitation to ask yourself these questions, not so much of a place of, oh, I want to get this right, or, oh, I should get this right, and I don't want to be wrong. I mean, that's fine. But for me, there's something so much more expansive to ask it from this place of, well, I want to be this artist who brings beauty into this world. That's my vision for myself, to be the artist who brings beauty into this world. And these questions, they're going to help me bringing such beauty into the world. It's going to open up this exploration. It's going to offer me the skill and sensitivity needed to bring such beauty to the world. However you reply to those questions, can you get the difference in the feeling sense? Because for me, I was brought up in a kind of ethics that was much more rigid. It didn't feel like it gave me some kind of vision around beauty. So alcohol and then smoking weed. We got to get to that. The last time I was smoking pot was now, it's well over 30 years ago. I loved smoking weed. Yeah, we'll get to that. It was so appropriate for my life at that time.
Awesome.
And at the same time, kind of, I was continuing to smoke dope. I was also starting to get into meditation and Dharma. And then there started to be a turn, because then I started to really get into the Dharma and meditation. And as I started to really get into it, I began to realize underneath my desire to smoke weed was that I was so unhappy. So unhappy. And because that's what was going on for me. And I want to be careful here. This is just my experience around this. So many people have different experiences. I please don't universalize my own experience here. But for me, then I realized why it was so appealing. Like, I didn't have to feel that then. At least that's how weed worked for me. It was really great that way. But that's what was there when I started to sense in, was I was so unhappy. And I obviously wasn't learning this art of that music of like making it sound like it's floating. I was sinking. That's really what was going on. It was my go-to for distraction, consumption, overindulgence. Really, what I was trying to do is to distract myself from feeling my unhappiness. And then, as I said, things changed. I think one of the things that started to happen with meditation practice was really just beginning to slow down and to feel into this unhappiness. But this is how I really feel. There's a whole host of other emotions that I feel like I needed just to feel, just to be with. It's like you could say, I began to float and to flow through those emotions and to be with them rather than merely avoiding them. Hopefully, you're hearing how this is intertwined meditation with learning this art of ethical integrity. I begin to discover what's really here for me, especially if how I'm feeling. And then it was quite natural. Smoking weed for me just became really unappealing. It wasn't working the way it used to. And not smoking weed really supported me in learning more and more, especially how to listen deeply to this path of the Dharma, really, so I could continue to respond and harmonize and be in tune. And again, my caveat here, I want to be very clear here. This is just my experience around smoking pot. I know others that a skillful use of marijuana has actually changed their life for the better. I remember meeting someone in the Sangha where having this long conversation, really understanding their journey. And that was so helpful for me to hear that perspective. It was different than mine. There was more stability in their life now because of that. They would be, if they were here, telling you a different story. And again, I'm just inviting you to ask these same questions around this. If you smoke weed, is it onward leading and carrying your life forward or not? Or is it a sinking into distraction, a consumption, and overindulgence? Or the question, is it allowing you to bring ethical beauty into this world or hindering it? Again, not about simple right and wrong, what's or even better or worse. What's supportive in your life? What isn't? And to remember, what I remember is I'm on a path, so I'm in process often with a lot of these things. It's not like a done deal. And then another realm, which I find interesting in terms of this, technology. Oh, I shouldn't have brought it up. I use it as worse than media. Phones, social media, the internet. I find this challenging. I want to be super honest with you. I live a life where many of my activities are intertwined with my phone or my computer. Whether that's a meeting on Zoom or a phone call, communicating via email or text, putting this talk together that I'm now sharing with you, using my computer right now so that we can have a bigger community. Thank you for everyone here being on Zoom. And this is what it is. There's a complexity here. This, even tonight, it allows for a larger community here. Right? And there is a sweetness. There are these avenues that connect me to others and keep me informed through all that technology. But they also distract me and send me down completely unnecessary rabbit holes. Oh. You know, I know for me, a tricky arena is my consumption of the news. And I want to point out, it feels aligned for me to make sure that I stay informed. For me, it's about being a responsible citizen, a responsible member of the society, and a responsible person on this earth, to stay informed and up to date so I can have skillful responses and skillful ways of caring. And I do find being informed to a certain extent, it supports me in learning how to bring a bit of beauty of ethical integrity into the world. It can really be helpful. And so hopefully you're hearing the complexity just around this one small piece. And when I'm in that space, when it's working, I just want to say that, right? I'm reading about what's going on. I'm trying to read a variety of different views and opinions, even ones I know I will probably disagree with, because I think that's very important for me, that I'm just not reading what I like, but trying to understand others. I try to settle down with a few different news outlets that have different perspectives, still journalistic integrity. And also, I put a time limit on it. I find that really helpful. But there are the other times where I just get caught, like the words I'm using, I'm sinking, not floating and flowing. You know, I feel like I'm staying informed, but then I'm spending more time than I intended. And then I find myself going down some unhelpful rabbit hole. It's just like something grabs my attention. This happens especially when I'm tired. This is the other thing, is not to read the news when I'm tired. Right? There's so many unhelpful rabbit holes for me, at least. Do I really need to read about some fight on social media between two billionaires or two Hollywood actors? Really? Probably not. And there it is, wanting my attention. Or sometimes I'll just slip into something. I can feel like I'm just reading something, and I'm reading it because I know it's going to agree with my point of view. And that can be so alluring, where I'm just trying to find things that reinforce my point of view. I don't find that a skillful way to be informed, to tell you the truth. I want to question my point of view at times. All the time is really helpful. And then it feels like I'm consuming just for the sake of consumption. And when I notice this habit, I do feel like my mind is more clouded than clear. I'm not in tune with what my intention is. to be informed in a way where I can inform how I bring ethical beauty into the world. So what about for you in this whole world of technology, whether it be the news or social media or whatever it is? When is your use of such technology, when does it feel like it's onward leading and carrying your life forward? And when do you feel like you're sinking into distraction? Where is your hook? Can you be honest with yourself? When is it just mere consumption or overindulgence? It's just kind of you're on the Netflix merry-go-round. When does it support you in bringing ethical beauty into this world and not hindering it? Another tricky, two more tricky areas. One more tricky area. Let's see. Plant medicines and hallucinogens. I'm just like here talking about my life. I have no idea if this actually applies to any of your lives. I'm just guessing. Sometimes you just have to throw things out there. Quite honestly, for me, doing hallucinogens was a significant doorway into the Dharma for me. It actually was a real game changer. It made me realize things about this mind and how it fabricates the world. Okay, kind of one of the key understandings in on this path. And at the same time, I haven't done them in such a long time. They just haven't called to me. They don't call to me. They're not part of my path. And at the same time, I know a number of practitioners who I have a lot of respect for, where this realm has been at times interwoven with their Dharma practice. It's different for different people. But can you ask yourself the questions? Is this onward leading for me right now in my life? Is it carrying my life forward? It really might be. Maybe it's not. When is it just mere consumption or overindulgence? And key, is it supporting you in bringing beauty, ethical beauty into the world, or hindering it? And I really hope you're hearing that I am not giving you any answers to these realms. If it feels like I've given you answers, I apologize. My intention is to offer you questions. Sincerely, I don't know for you. I don't know for each and every one of you. And also as a way to support a community of multiplicity. Really, my intention is to invite you to explore by tuning into the rhythms of your own life and improvising with those rhythms in this arena. Maybe disconnecting from your phone by turning it off for a morning or an evening and using that space to then connect with others or have some solitude for yourself. To improvise, to play with that world. This is the other thing I love about this framework. I get to improvise. I get to play in this realm of ethical integrity to get a sense of what's skillful and unskillful. Read the news every other day rather than every day. Take a break from Netflix or social media. When you need to drive across town, can you play with turning off the radio or the podcast and just be there with driving? What's that like? What do you discover from that exploration, that experiment? And for me to really improvise and to really explore improvisation with the rhythms of my life, I need to step out of good person, bad person. Step out of beating myself up and instead become curious. Now, what's happening in the mind? What's happening when you play with not having that cup of coffee in the morning Or maybe I shouldn't say that. I know maybe I'm going way too far. Okay, I take it back. I want to leave with my body intact. Okay, yeah, no sense. Let's not go too far tonight. So what's happening to this mind? Exploring the nature of getting hooked, and also exploring when it feels like it's flowing. And I know some of these examples can sound so small, but for me, they've made all the difference in my life. So may these ways of questioning and these ways of improvising with the rhythms of your life, may they bring forth the beauty of ethical integrity for ourselves, for others, and for the whole world. Thank you. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.